All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So I want to use this opportunity to really focus a little bit, even though, again, it's a Tehillim Shir, but to focus just a little bit on Parsha Zohar. And the reason for that is because when it comes to Parsha Zohar, often we're all familiar with the obligation, but sometimes the meaning, the deeper, profound message and what the avod is. You know, I've mentioned this many times in this context. In Judaism, everything has an avoda. There is a spiritual responsibility. There is a spiritual obligation in anything and everything we do. And in anything and everything we do, there's a take-home message. There's something we're supposed to accomplish. Everything we do in our Yiddishkeit is somehow, some way, supposed to change us. Everything in our Yiddishkeit is overwhelmingly profound and cathartic. But of course, it only is that way if we understand the things that we're doing. And sometimes it's the things we do year in and year out, it's the things we do day in and day out, that sometimes we miss a little bit of the deeper meaning and a little bit of a deeper profundity. So we'll focus for a few minutes this morning on Parshas Zohar, and Emir Hashem, hopefully glean a little bit of a greater appreciation for this mitzvah, and also an understanding of the mitzvah, and perhaps a little bit of a tie-in to the Yom Tov of Purim as well. So let's begin. Our shir is dedicated as Chus v'Refuah Shleimah for Chaim Shlomo ben Malka. We hope that he will have a complete and enduring refuah together with Kol Cholei Yisrael. So let's begin with number one. Zochor is asher asalocha Amalek b'derech b'tzeischem in Mitzrayim. So the Torah in Parshas Kisete tells us, remember what Amalek did to you when you left Egypt. Asher karcha b'derech, he happened upon you on the road. Va'yizaniv b'cha kol ha'nechashalim acharecha. And literally he attacked all of the stragglers who were behind you. Va'ata yefi agea, you were tired and weary. V'lo yarei Elokim, and did not fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'haya b'aniyach Hashem Elokecha me'lecha mikol evecha misaviv. Ba'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosein locha nachala l'rishta. And it will be when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you, literally will give you the land of Eretz Yisrael, will allow you to inherit and to conquer all of your enemies that surround you. Timcha ezecher Amalek mitachas Hashem lo tishkach. Erase the memory of Amalek from underneath the heavens. Do not forget. So the Torah HaKadosh gives us two mitzvos, two obligations when it comes to Amalek. Number one is zochor, to remember that which Amalek did to us. And number three, to remember, or I should say, to erase, timcha, erase the memory of Amalek from underneath the heavens. So there's an obvious question when it comes to this mitzvah as to what does it mean? So people, okay, so we should remember that Amalek hates us. So, fantastic. We don't need a reminder that anybody hates us. All you need to do is you can open a newspaper. So, again, we live in an age where it might not be overt anti-Semitism. Meaning, again, all one needs to do is look at the new legislation just passed in Poland. So I'm sure all of you are familiar with that in Poland it is now a crime to go ahead and blame the Poles for the Holocaust. You're not permitted to call it. It is illegal to say Polish Holocaust. If you say Polish Holocaust, Polish collaborators, you could literally be jailed. Not even a century after 3.5 million Polish Jews were murdered in cold blood, that soil is still drenched with Jewish blood. And now, again, already historical revisionism has set in. See, it used to be there have always been Holocaust deniers. There have always been people, bless you, there have always been people who tried to deny the reality. But on a national level, to deny culpability for one of the worst atrocities in the history of mankind, so that's anti-Semitism. It's not anti-Israel, it's anti-Semitism. It's a pure and unadulterated hatred of the Jew. So does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to give me a mitzvah to remember that which Amalek did to us? No, we don't need a mitzvah to remember because it's part of our psyche. It's part of our consciousness. This is Bilam already picked up on this when he said, Am levadad yishkon, we are a nation which resides by ourselves. And this is very important because even though Baruch Hashem, we live in a wonderful galus and we are very privileged to be citizens of this incredible and great country which has afforded us liberty, security, safety and prosperity like we as a people have never enjoyed. It is important for us to understand that country, this has happened before, and countries have turned on us before. Not to chas v'shalom say that God forbid this will happen here. But a Jew always has to look behind his back. A Jew always has to be ever aware and ever conscious of everything that's happening around him or her. For we know the world in its entirety hates us. Now, I know that sounds like you're thinking to yourself, for this, I came to a shir. I could stay home and get doom and gloom. Right? So this is not doom and gloom. This is reality. This is the best. See, people love to sometimes create for themselves just a beautiful, happy, everything's hunky-dory life. And the problem, of course, is it's nice, but then when the medication runs out of the bottle and it's no longer there, you have to face reality. Life is not perfect. Life is not hunky-dory. The world is not all roses and sunshine. There's a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of upheaval. And as a nation, it's important for us to be ever aware and ever present of these things. So to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding me to remember Amalek, to remember that which Amalek did to us. So first of all, it's strange. Amalek, this event happened over 3,000 years ago. So there's so much that's happened in the interim that if you want me to remember, tell me to remember the last time that Amalek did something terrible to us. Tell me to remember that. And you know, Amalek, there's a whole discussion. There's a nation of Amalek, a geographic nation of Amalek. But of course, we know the Sefer bring down that Amalek represents anyone who goes ahead and engages in baseless hatred towards Am Yisrael, and really even towards humanity as a whole. So what we saw happened in Parkland, Florida last week was also Amalek. That's also Amalek. There's evil in this world. There's terrible things that happen in this world. And so to tell me that I have to remember about a war that happened 3,000 years ago, and by the way, here's the good news. What's the good news about this battle? We won. Right? The good news is this war 3,000 years ago, we won. We won this battle against Amalek. So, okay, you want me to remember a battle, but we've lost so many other battles against Amalek. This one, again, we had the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. This one, we had Yoshua. This one, the Ribono Shel Olam effectively waged the war for us. So what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do? What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remember? What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to accomplish? And the truth is, the question is amplified. If you take a look at number 3, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin and says something amazing. This is a very dramatic halacha. Some say that Parshas Zohar, there is a biblical obligation for Parshas Zohar. A biblical obligation to hear Parshas Zohar. So understand the novelty in that ruling. So we have Kriyas HaTorah every single week. Kriyas HaTorah, right, reading of the Torah, is dirabanan, is a rabbinic obligation. There is no biblical obligation to lean on Shabbos, to lean on Mondays and Thursdays. This is all a din dirabanan. Yet the Shulchan Aruch says when it comes to Parshas Zohar, it's a din d'araisa. There is a biblical obligation. Now, I want to be clear. Not everyone agrees with that, but nevertheless, there's Yeshua, and there are those who say, Lefichach, b'nei yeshuvim shein la minyan, tzrichim lavo lemakum, sheyesh minyan b'shabas asalalu, kadei lishmoa parashios elu shehim mid'araisa. Therefore, again, the Shulchan Aruch says something amazing. If you live in a small community where there's not a minyan, you have to go somewhere else for Shabbos. You have to go to a community where there's a shul, where there's a minyan, so that you could hear Parsha Zohar, which is a very dramatic halacha, that I have to uproot my family, I have to go somewhere else just in order to hear a Kriyas HaTorah. He says, Hagavi Esha Lavo, Mikol Mokom Yizaruk Likrosam B'Neginasam B'Tamam. But again, the Ramah says, if you can't hear it with a minyan, you can read it out of a chumash, you can read it with the trap, and one could fulfill their obligation that way as well. And of course, this also gives the idea, this Yesh Omrim, it's part of the same idea that women are Michuyavos in Parshas Zohar. That in and of itself is a Machlokes as well. Not everyone agrees that women, but again, certainly I think the Minhag Yisrael today is that women try to hear Parshas Zohar. Again, if you miss Parshas Zohar, I mean, you'll consult your local Orthodox rabbi, but you know, if you miss Parshas Zohar, you don't have to drive the Rav of the Shul crazy, you don't have to drive your husband crazy. If you miss it, it's okay. First of all, important to know that Purim morning, you could fulfill your obligation for Parsha Zohar on Purim morning, because remember, we read the section of Vayavo Amalek. We read the section in Parshas Beshalach. On Purim morning, you could fulfill your obligation with that Kriyas. Even if for some reason you don't make it to Shul on Shabbos, one could fulfill their obligation on Purim. Not only that, but when we get to Parshas Kisetzi in a couple of months in Chumash Devarim, you could also fulfill your obligation on Parshas Zohar. In other words, our minog is that we do it on the Shabbos before Purim, as we'll discuss. But the idea is that at least once a year, one should have some formal recognition or remembrance of that which Amalek did. The point I'm trying to isolate for you from the Shulchan Aruch is that this is not just a Torah reading, It obviously is something exceptionally important. It obviously is something that is not every time you read the Torah, it's important. Every Shabbos is important. Every parsha is important. But no parsha, if there's no chi of Doraisa, there's no biblical obligation to read Parsha's Tetzaveh. Parsha's Tetzaveh is a wonderful parsha, beautiful parsha, important parsha. There is absolutely no one who says it's a biblical obligation yet. When it comes to Parsha Zohar, we have this idea that it's of biblical nature. So again, the question becomes why? What is so important about this remembrance? And by extension, what is the avoda? What is our job? What is our obligation? So I'll share with you a couple of different approaches. The Sefer HaChinuch says something amazing, number four. Mishra Sheh Mitzvah. Allah says, Elibenu, Shekala Meitzer Li Yisrael Sanoi Lifnei Hashem Baruch Hu. So at the root of this mitzvah is to teach the Jewish people that whoever goes ahead and Meitzer, whoever causes problems, whoever literally delivers suffering to Klal Yisrael, is despised by God. V'chi lefi ra'asa va'armas rov nisko, tiyeh mapaloso. And literally again, in accordance with the intensity of the hatred delivered by the enemy, also merits the same level of intense divine response. U'kimo sha'atamotzi ba'amalik, ki mitnei sha'asa ro'a gidola li'yisrael, shehischilhu la'hazikam, sivanu baruchu la'abed zichram. So the Sefer HaChinuch says something amazing. See, sometimes the greatest challenge we are faced with in the world is what appears to be a lack of divine justice. It appears that way. That sometimes, again, people do terrible things and there seems to be no recourse. There seems to be no repercussions. So this is the tzaddik v'ra lo, rasha v'tovlo. The wicked seem to prosper. The righteous seem to suffer. And even though I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I yearn to see His justice. So the Sefer HaChinuch says something amazing. Parshas Amalek reminds us that there is a system of divine justice. That if you hurt Klal Yisrael, you will be punished. And the more you hurt Klal Yisrael, the greater the intensity of your punishment. The raya to that, Amalek attacks us. Now at the end of the day, the truth is, they didn't really hurt us all that badly. They attacked the stragglers, they attacked those in the back of the camp, but then Yoshua goes in and Yoshua defeats them. But yet they were the first. Yet they were the first to go ahead and start up with Klal Yisrael. They were the first to pave the way for multiple other enemies to attack us, to come before us as aggressors. Therefore, because they were the first, and because there was such brazenness and such chutzpah, therefore they get the worst punishment. What's the worst punishment? First of all, there's no other nation that we are obligated to eradicate. It almost seems, if you think about it, very un-Jewish. I mean, today, what would they call this? They would call it genocide, right? Meaning to wipe out men, women, and children, which is the mitzvah of Nechiyas Amalek, to wipe out everyone. So when we hear about these things today, we think about war crimes, we think about genocide, but that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. Remember, our moral compass is not determined by what you and I think is right. The Ribono Shel Olam tells us what is right. And if he tells us that it's right to wipe out Amalek, but again, we know that even great people struggled with this. Who's the greatest person who struggled with this? Shaul HaMelech. We discussed this. Amalek was Shaul's downfall. Shaul was supposed to wipe out Amalek, and he doesn't, and because of that, he loses the throne. That's his downfall. We spoke about this in the... Tehillim, Tayin. We spoke about this in the context of Tehillim as well. So we see it's a difficult mitzvah. But the Sefer HaChinuch says, it reminds us that there is a system of justice. If you start up with Klal Yisrael, and the more brazen your aggressiveness towards Klal Yisrael, there is a corresponding divine response. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strike back with vengeance, with intensity, and He will order your complete annihilation. So according to the Sefer HaChinuch, we go ahead and we have a biblical obligation to read this parsha once a year to remind ourselves of the fact that there is a system of justice in this world. And even though sometimes we have difficulty seeing it, and even though sometimes we have difficulty understanding it, or even though sometimes we wonder again why the wicked get away with so much and why the righteous seem to suffer so unnecessarily, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. We believe that ultimately, again, He will right the wrongs. Maybe not on the timeline that we would like it, but that's okay. He's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows the timeline. We don't. But says the Sefer HaChinuch, that's the essence of this parsha. To remind ourselves and to reinforce within ourselves that there is a system of divine justice in this world. Take a look at number five. The Panim Yafos. has a different approach. The Panim Yafo says something quite beautiful. If you skip down a little bit, he actually points out something very interesting. He says that this is not the only obligation we have to remember something. Right? In fact, again, we have an obligation to remember there are shesh zechiros. We have an obligation. If you look at the end of Shacharis in the Siddur, so there's six things that we are obligated to remember every single day. See, interestingly enough, we're obligated to go ahead and remember Shabbos. But we're also obligated to remember other things, like Yitzias Mitzrayim, Exodus. We're obligated to remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Miriam, that he punished her with tzaras, for Lashon Hara. But amazingly enough, we're not obligated to remember those things verbally. A cognitive process, remembering that God took us out of Egypt, even if I don't say anything, remembering that there's Mashiach, remembering that ultimately, again, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. On a technical level, these are all cognitive processes. Yet, by a Malik, cognition is not enough, but I actually have to articulate it verbally. Why? So look what he writes. Look at the last two lines. Aval zechiras mechias amalek eino tzarech sha ela be'is ketz. He says something amazing. He says, when is Amalek going to be wiped out? You see, when you look at the parasha, when you look at number one, so when does the mitzvah of mechias amalek take place? When does it take place? When we come into Eretz Yisrael, right? The Torah says, "V'hayo ba'aniach Hashem lokecha locha micholei ve'chav misabiv ba'aretz Hashem." When you come to Eretz Yisrael, when you settle the land, when you've inherited the nations, wipe out Amalek. Did it happen?
No.
So the Panim Yafo says something amazing. He says it could be that this is a scriptural allusion to messianic redemption. When will Amalek be wiped out? Remember again, as we said before, Amalek is not just simply a nation. Amalek is the very embodiment of evil in humanity. When is that evil wiped out? So the Panim Yafo posits that it happens when Mashiach comes. It is not something that we do. That's why, again, the Rambam says, you know, even if somebody identifies themselves to you as a card-carrying Amalekite, right? What do you do? Right? We'll probably turn the other way, right? But nothing. Meaning, there's no mitzvah to wipe out Amalek today. That's for a whole variety of reasons. The Panim Yafo feels because primarily, this is a messianic mitzvah. This is going to be one of the obligations that Mashiach has. Mashiach is going to be the one, of course, with our assistance, that somehow eradicates the scourge of Amalekite evil from within our world. And therefore, the Panim Yafo says something amazing. The reason we have an obligation to actively remember Amalek each and every year, and it becomes a biblical obligation, is because it's not just about remembering Amalek. What is it about? It's about remembering messianic redemption. It's about remembering Mashiach. This is a biblically institutionalized procedure to ensure that the Jew never loses sight of future redemption. We've been waiting a very long time for Mashiach. We've been waiting thousands of years for Mashiach. But we live with the words of Achakilo b'chol yom sheyavo. But you know what? Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes you feel like you just want to throw in the towel and give up. So what happens? Parshas Amalek comes, Parshas Zachar comes once a year to remind us the day will come where evil will be eradicated. The day will come when the memory of Amalek, you see, it's not just that Amalek will be erased. The memory of Amalek will be erased. You know, we know what this is like. The Brisker Rav brings down on the phrase, Shir HaMalos B'Shuv Hashem HaShiv HaSion Hayinu Kicholmim. So Shir HaMalos, a song of ascents. B'Shuv Hashem HaShiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us back to Tzion. Hayinu Kicholmim. We'll be like dreamers. So what does that mean, we'll be like dreamers? So the Brisker Rav says something amazing. He says, you know, when a person has a bad dream, so sometimes you could have a dream that's very vivid, very vivid. Mm-hmm. But what happens? You wake up. And when you realize that it was a dream, there is such a wave of relief. Meaning, I still might be affected by the dream, but there's such like a euphoria. It was just a dream. The Brisker Rav says that when Mashiach comes, when Geula comes, it's not just that there's going to be redemption and no more suffering. Hayinu kicholmim. All of the suffering of the past will be like a dream. What it means to be like a dream, because you know, sometimes a person suffers and then their suffering is over, but the residual scars of the suffering still remain. Some way, somehow, Mashiach comes, it's not just going to be just a redemption, but it's going to be like all of the trials and tribulations, all the tragedy of the past, Hayinu kechom will be like a dream. We'll wake up and we'll feel an incredible sense of relief. When does that... So the erasure of Amalek is this same idea. God doesn't just tell us to kill Amalek, to eradicate Amalek. It's timcha es zecher Amalek. How can you eradicate the memory of something? How great, especially in today's day and age, you know, one of the greatest mussers, pieces of mussar about the internet is what? The greatest piece of mussar is? You can't erase it. Right? It's an incredible metaphor for the book that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps, right? We have to, right? It's one of the greatest challenges that we go ahead and we try to teach young people today. Truth is not just young people, it's older people also, right? What you put on your Facebook page, or what you tweet, or what you whatever, or what you Instagram, or what you this. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavin. Anything and everything you do leaves a digital trail. And even when you get a little bit older, and your judgment is a little bit better, and you decide, oh, I really shouldn't have posted that. Or I really should take this down. I'm sure, I'm not a technological genius, but I'm sure that there's some way to recover even that which has been deleted. But yet, amazingly enough, when Mashiach comes, so Amalek is going to be erased. Timcha zecher Amalek. Hayinu kecholmim. It's not just that evil is going to cease, but it's that evil is going to be erased. So therefore, says the Panim Yafos so beautifully, that the whole idea of Parsha Zachar ultimately is what? Is the idea to remind us and to reinforce the belief in the Bias Goel, in the coming of Mashiach. 100%. 100%. If you take a look at number 6, Rav Kook has a little bit of a different approach. And interestingly enough, Rav Kook in this, I really should have started with Rav Kook, has a very non-esoteric approach to this, which is strange for Rav Kook, because normally, again, his approach to anything and everything is usually exceptionally esoteric. But Rav Kook takes a very simple and straightforward approach here. He explains in number 6, paragraph Aleph. Asher karucha baderach vayizanev b'chol kol mechashlim acharecha v'yisa b'mechilta shayon nichnos l'soch kanfei anon v'gomev nefashos mi'yisrael v'harga. So the quotes over in the Mechilta, the Medrash, that says that what did Amalek do? See, remember again, Klal Yisrael was protected by a cloud. So how did Amalek attack us? So there are different versions, but according to the Mechilta, Amalek entered into the cloud. They entered into the cover. They entered into the Anan, and they went ahead and they just killed whoever they could. Gomiv nefashos miyisrael v'hargon shesinas Amalek ain a dome klal. Rav Kook says that people hate each other is not a novel dynamic. It's not just that people hate Jews. People, there's animosity that exists within the world. There are certain nations that have been at war forever with each other. There are certain nations that are constant animosity with one another. The fact that there's hatred that exists between nations, that's not a novelty. She'ina sinakim ala klal v'lo ala prat. But says Rav Kook something amazing. He says, but in general, when hatred or animosity exists between nations, it's generally not personal. It's generally national. So you could have nations which hate each other, right? You could have countries which despise each other. They despise the other nationality, but do they hate individuals? Generally not. Aval Amalek haya shana sone kedushas Yisrael meikaro. The hatred of Amalek was something different. The hatred of Amalek is that Amalek despised Kiddushas Yisrael. Amalek despised the holiness of the Jew in its essence. Hayu be'ein of davar gadol, afilu avedas nefesh achas miYisrael. Paragraph base. Mipnei shelo haisas sin aso tiluya badavar. So amazing, Rav Kook says something so dramatically amazing. If you think about this for just a moment, you know, the whole thing about the war with Amalek that just seems to defy comprehension is that it was a suicide mission. It was a suicide mission. Why in your right mind would you start up with Klal Yisrael? Meaning at the end of the day, we didn't do anything. Kadosh Baruch Hu just defeated Paro. The Yam Suf just split. The Egyptian army has just been decimated. 3.5 million people are being supported, are being sustained in the desert. How? Man, heavenly bread that comes down. This miraculous, well, it's foolish. It's foolish to start up with them. So what does this show Rav Kook? Amalek represents baseless hatred. Amalek represents hatred illogical hatred. Illogical hatred. And when there is illogical hatred, by definition, people do things to harm the other, even though what? At the end of the day, they're really harming themselves. Did Amalek kill a couple of people? Of course. And the loss of any Jew is like the loss of an entire world. But in the grand scheme of things, they lost much more than we did. They were beaten back. They were effectively neutralized. That's why, again, if you notice, does Amalek start up with us again? If you notice, Amalek doesn't start up with us again for a very, very, very long time. Amalek is still a presence in Eretz Yisrael, but again, you don't hear a peep from them. Why? Because they were beaten into submission. But what's dramatic about this, says Rav Kook, is the baseless hatred. Is that their goal was just to kill someone. Their goal was just to kill someone. Their anger and their animosity and their hatred was so fierce and so blinding that if you ask the Amalekite nation, knew how did it go? How did it go against the Jews? What would they have said?
Great.
Incredible. Mamish, incredible. Exceptional. Right? Really? Really? What happened? We killed 5 Jews. Right? Okay, and how many did you lose? 5,000. But it was great. It was mamish great. We did exactly what it is that we set out to do. Rav Kook says Amalek is the physical representation of sinas chinam. Sounds like a familiar term, right? So Rav Kook goes on to explain something so dramatic. When we hear this story about Amalek, we say, you guys are so foolish, so ridiculous. How can you be so blinded by hatred against another person that you'd be willing to do things that are just objectively detrimental to yourself? And then we take a step back and we say to ourselves,
happens every day.
1 second. We do that also. And not to others. But sometimes, unfortunately, we do that to ourselves. We lost the Beis HaMikdash because of Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is not a trait of Jews. Sinas Chinam is a trait that we learned, unfortunately, from our encounter with Amalek. Amalek represents, again, a blind, baseless hatred, where the goal at the end of the day is just simply to wreak havoc. The goal is just simply to do whatever you can to hurt the other, and whatever the cost or sacrifice to yourself, no cost is too big, no cost is too great. And it sounds crazy, and it sounds destructive, and it sounds horrible. And says Rav Kook says that the yisod ultimately of Parsha Zachar is to remind ourselves that evil exists in this world. Well, we'll get to the Sinas Chinam for the Jews in just a moment. Evil exists in this world. There is evil. This is exceptionally important, and I'll tell you why. Because we live in a society of moral equivalency. And a moral equivalency is you are never allowed to say that what? That someone is wrong. You're never allowed to say someone's wrong. They just have a different opinion. And again, you have your opinion. I have my opinion. You can't tell me that I'm right. You can't tell me that I'm wrong. We just have different opinions. And what Rav Kook is telling us is that that's not true. Yeah, yes, that is true. There are different opinions, and we have to have room for different opinions. And even if people don't agree with us, we have to learn to live side by side. But there is evil in this world. And there are things that are just wrong. And there are things that are just bad. And it's not our job to explain it away. It's our job to rage against it. It's our job to fight back against it. And it's our job to try to remove it from this world. Rav Kook says, the entire Yisod of Parsha Zachar is to teach us that there is not moral equivalency in society. Name evil for what it is. Identify evil for what it is and be courageous enough to stand up against it and to fight back against it. The corollary to this, which is not our topic for today, is now you begin to understand why Sinas Chinam is so destructive for Klal Yisrael. Why baseless hatred when unfortunately we turn against each other for no good reason? Because I want to tell you something. There is no good reason to ever turn against another Jew. We might have some significant differences. And we might have some very serious differences. But there is a way to deal with those differences. There is a dialogue with dignity. There is a derech eretz. There is a kavod that I always owe to my fellow Jew, no matter how horribly wrong I may think that they are. Because anything less than that turns into Amalekite behavior. Amalek taught us sin. Where do we learn sin aschinam from? Where do we get that from? The Jew doesn't naturally know anything about sin aschinam. The Jew, and our default is to love one another. Our default, it doesn't mean we always get along, and it doesn't mean we always do the right thing. But a baseless hatred to the point that I'm willing to destroy someone else, even to my own detriment, that's something that we learned from a chance encounter in the desert with a nation called Amalek. But the idea says, but again, that's a secondary idea. The idea says, Rav Kook, is the Parsha Zachar reminds us that evil exists. Let me share with you one last approach. So again, so we have so far, and I just want to point out, none of these approaches are mutually exclusive. They're all correct, and they're all true. What's the Yesod of Parsha Zachar? So number one, we have, according to the Sefer Achinuch, this idea that Parsha Zachar reminds us there is a system of divine justice. Now, we may not understand it or be able to perceive it or see it in everyday life, but it absolutely, unequivocally exists. We then saw the Panim Yafos who explained that, in fact, Parsha Zachar is there to remind us, to keep up our belief, to stoke the anticipatory desire for Yemos HaMashiach, for the Messianic era. Because it's Mashiach who is going to wipe out the scourge, ultimately, of evil of Amalek. Rav Kook, name evil exists. Evil exists in this world. And to pretend like it doesn't, or to try to explain it away, is a disservice to us, is a disservice to humanity. Furthermore, again, that which we saw that Amalek did to us, this sin aschinam, we must be very careful, chas v'shalom, to never to visit upon one another. But take a look at number 7. And with this, we'll close out for today. So this is a beautiful insight by the Be'er HaChaim. The Be'er HaChaim brings down, he says, mitzvas hayom b'shabes zu, hilimchos shemo v'zichar shel Amalek. So here's what's very interesting. So up until now, if you notice, pretty much the focus has been on the mitzvah of zichira. And in fact, again, we call parshas zachar, because normally the part we identify with most is remembering that which Amalek did to us. But remember, again, if we take it a step back, there's a second mitzvah. What's the second mitzvah included in Parsha Zachar? Is timcha ezecher Amalek, to erase Amalek. So what does that mean? What is, I understand to remember, and I understand the profundity of remembrance and what memory does for me. But there's another mitzvah to wipe out. So again, the Panim Yafos will say, that's not for us now, that's for Mashiach. But no one else seems to agree. Everyone else seems to say no, that there's an element of erasure of Amalek even now. So what does that mitzvah mean for us? Look at the Be'er HaChaim in number 7. Mitzvah hayom b'shabezu, hilimchos shemo v'zichor shel Amalek, al yidei kabbalas al Torah u'mitzvos v'kiyumam. So the mitzvah on this Shabbos of Parsha Zachar is to wipe out the name and memory of Amalek. How? Al yidei kabbalas al Torah u'mitzvos v'kiyumam. How do we wipe out Amalek? How do we erase Amalek? So he's going to quote over here from the Beis Aaron, who says, by accepting Torah, by accepting mitzvah. So we'll see what that means in just a moment. But by accepting upon ourselves dynamic, positive, spiritual activity, that is how we wipe out Amalek. He goes on, he says, because of Beis Aaron, kol ish Yisrael, kol mashu oseh, tzarech lios shebazu ha'asya yismache hazecher shel Amalek. The Beis Aaron says, every single time a Jew does something positive, he or her in their own way goes ahead and wipes out the memory of Amalek. V'kasher yineh nizar bazeh kol bar Yisrael, azay batuach ani, asher chishmar yov yiyu apturim mikol atzaros. So the Beis Aaron says something amazing. He says, how is it that a person goes ahead and fulfills the obligation to wipe out Amalek? How does that occur? So the Beis Aaron posits that when a person goes ahead and accepts upon himself Torah and mitzvot, and again, we'll have to define what that means, somehow they wipe out Amalek. So if you look in Aleph, in the next paragraph here, which is one of the footnotes, he shares over here an incredible story. The Beis Aaron was Rabbi Aaron of Karlin. So he tells over here a story about one of the prominent Karliner Chassidim, a man by the name of Rav Zalman Brazil. So if you look at this story a little bit, he says, look a couple lines down in that Aleph. Pam achas b'yitzyosa min ha-mikva, kashras min ha-alav, v'zaak b'ino u'b'in atzmo, yimach shemo, yimach shemo. So this is a strange scene. This elderly Chassid came out of the mikvah, is getting dressed, and as he's tying his shoes, he seems to be saying, he's krechzing out, yimach shemo, yimach shemo. Let his name be obliterated. Let his name be obliterated. Okay. There's another guy who's standing next to him. And Nebuch, the guy, the other guy, thinks that Reb Zalman Brazil is talking to him. So he's saying to me, Yemach Shemo, Yemach Shemo. So he goes over to this elderly chassid. He says, excuse me, Reb Zalman, did I do something to you? Are you upset to me that you're saying Yemach Shemo, Yemach Shemo as you're putting on your shoes? And he gave a beautiful answer. He says, look, five lines up from the bottom of that paragraph, Aleph. Na'aneha chassid deheshev lo benichusa, shelo kara lo mu'uma. Rak shebebeis aron mavuar, shebechol mitzvah ha'ad, tzarech ha'adam lechavein, shebiritzono limchos zaro shalamalik. The Beis Aron said that every single time a person does a mitzvah, they have to have intention that they are doing their part in wiping out the memory of Amalek. Va'al kein, be'is kshiras hana'olim kefi ha'nifzak b'shulchan aruch. You know, halacha tells us how to do everything, including putting on our shoes. So I put on my right shoe, I put on my left shoe, I tie my left shoe, then my right shoe. So therefore again, when one fulfills the halacha of putting on their shoes, as it's stated in Shulchan Aruch, harayu mechavein limchos shmo v'zichro mitachas ha'shamayim. When a Jew puts on his shoes kahalacha, when a Jew puts on his shoes, and that becomes a form of avodas Hashem, when a Jew puts on his shoes in accordance with the halacha, he is doing his part in wiping out Amalek. V'lachin kidalo shebaze yimach HaKadosh Baruch Hu shmo me'al pnei ha'adama b'mehera. And therefore this elderly chassid says, as I put on my shoes, I say, yimach shemo, that this avoda should do its piece ultimately in wiping out Amalek. So what does this mean? Okay, it's a beautiful idea. So now when I do mitzvos, I wipe out Amalek. What's the correlation? Take a look at number 8. A pasuk in Tehillim. So David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Mona mispar lakochavim, lekulam shemo sikra. Literally, again, he counts the number of the stars. He calls them by name. Gadol Adonin levorav koach, lisvunaso ein mispar. Literally translated, Gadol Adonenu, our Lord is great, the Rav Koach has much strength, Lisvunaso in Mispar. So the straight translation of this phrase, Lisvunaso in Mispar, literally means his understanding cannot be counted, or his understanding cannot be calculated. So how do we understand that normally? That the knowledge and the wisdom of the Ribono Shel Olam is simply unquantifiable. V'lisvunaso ein mispar. You can't even quantify, you can't calculate the incredible wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his Alat Tshuva, in his essays on Tshuva, says something absolutely amazing. Take a look at number 9. Ulam zu mashmos ha-psukim, shano omrim b'chol yom b'psukit izimra. We say these psukim every day in psukit izimra. Monem mispar lakochavim, lekulam shemos yikra. He counts the number of stars. He calls all the stars by name. Gadol adunene v'rav koach v'lisvunasa in mispar. So Rav Soloveitchik asks a simple question. Lama lisvunasa in mispar. Why does it say that his understanding has no number? That's literally translated. His understanding has no number. V'lo lisvunasa in kates o in gvul. The better grammar would have been, and his wisdom has no end. Or his wisdom knows no boundaries. What do you mean his wisdom knows no number? Ella, shenira li, kikach perusho shal mikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mona mispar lakochavim. The Ribono Shel Olam counts all of the stars. V'hu misadar sakochavim b'mishmar asim berekiah. Sholeit b'konstelios hashemayos atzumos le'in shir u'gvul v'hu atzmo harehu insof. The God of Rakach Bechozvos, listen to this. So Ribono Shel Olam is great. That's okay. You didn't hear me. You didn't have to come to hear me say that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wonderful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is boundless. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. And he arranges the cosmos, right? The truth is, the simplest way to recognize the godless of the Ribono Shel Olam, like last night, happened to be, it was an exceptionally clear night. At least when I was outside, it was a very clear night. When you look up at the stars, especially if you're in a place where there's not a lot of artificial light, it's dramatically amazing to see the greatness of the cosmos. Rav Soloveitchik, in his essays on Tefillah, quotes William James, or Thoreau. I don't remember who he quotes. Maybe it's Thoreau. He says that one could, as one stands under a starlit night, One could feel the breath of infinity against the nape of their neck. I think it's Thoreau he quoted. But this idea that you see the greatness of the cosmos, and that's just one little speck of the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And yet, again, to us, it's so overwhelming. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great, L'svunoso yimispar, L'svunoso chaseres hagvulos, U'lechachmoso hakoleles u'makif hakol, Ein l'mispar kol chashivos. But yet, when it says L'svunoso, it means God does not get caught up in numbers. What does that mean? Listen to this. Bori olam shebara shay olamos atzumim, Milyonen kochavim, the God who has created who knows how many universes, where we haven't even discovered them yet, and who has created billions of stars. Marchos shamaimios adiros hamishtraos apnei shtachim fantastim shel miyonei shenos ar efsher hayalach shov shu'oev gadlos. Turn the page. You might have thought that the God who is the God of the cosmos, the God who is the God of galaxies and solar systems, which are beyond even human comprehension, you might have thought that to impress a God like this, you gotta do something dramatic. You have to do something amazing. Paragraph Aleph. He says, Shari Godo Adonai Varav Koach. Lokein. Elo, Lisvunaso, Mibchinaso Shalom, Ein Mispar. Ein Kol Chashivos, Lemisparim Hagidolim. So Soloveitchik gives an incredible and overwhelming, life altering explanation. Gadol Adonai Varav Koach. The Ribbono Shel Olam is great, and his greatness transcends and totally defies human comprehension. But lest you think that to impress great God, you have to do something overwhelmingly fantastic. It's not true. V'lisvunaso ein misbar. From God's position, from God's understanding, ein misbar. He's not holy. He doesn't need you to perform a 10. He doesn't need you to do something dramatic. He doesn't need to be wowed by some type of overwhelming and incredibly heroic activity. Ein mispar, ein kol chashivos lemisparim hagidolim. Be'einov, yesh legargir hakotan lemashu shevemashu azor oso. Erech malachos. Let's skip down a little bit. Look at paragraph base. And here's the amazing part. Biyadus choshev lo rak hamaase hayroi agadol. In Judaism, it is not only the heroic action which is important. Maaseh shakol mispalim imenu mispalim alav. Maaseh shadoros omdim mishtam nacho tmeim. Eich yochol odem lagir ladarga kazu shal gvur musiras nefesh. It is not only the heroic activity in Judaism that is important. Kigo maaseh akeda. Paragraph gimel. Hayadus binuya lo rak al shima hayroim ki maaseh akeda. Elo b'mida lo pechusa mikach. Rav Soloveitchik makes an amazing observation. Look at Avraham Avinu. Look at Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu, of course, when you think about Avraham Avinu, the first thing you think about is the Akedah. Perhaps one of the most, I should say, the first heroic spiritual event. The first. Lech Lecha was also heroic. Throwing himself into a Kiv Shana Ish was also heroic. But the willingness to sacrifice his one child from Sarah Imenu, who was not just his son, it was his future, not just his biological future, it was his spiritual future. And yet Avraham Avinu was willing to do it. The Maisa Akeda, incredible. So the Rav contrasts this, that Avraham Avinu was also known for something else. What else was he known for? Hachnasas Archim. So skip in paragraph Gimel. He quotes the Gemara above Metzia, four lines in. Roa be'ezes orus om otz atzuma kibal Avraham Avinu ha'shloshes ha'malochim shednidmu lo karavim. Avraham Avinu welcomes into his tent three angels. Now I want to point something out. Avraham Avinu did not know they were angels. Awesome. Maybe they were gedolim. They looked like Arabs. They looked like nomads. They were no ones. They were nobodies. Yet Avraham Avinu welcomed them into his home like royalty. He literally waited on them hand and foot. So I want to show you something. So you'll say, okay, Avraham Avinu has the Akedah and he has Achnasas Archim. Which one is greater? I know, you think it's a trick question, right? So there's no question that what goes into the Akedah obviously is much greater. But I want to show you something amazing. The Akid is a schus that we draw on to this very day. If one looks at the liturgy of the Yomim Noram, the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, already from Slichos, the event that is referenced most throughout our Yomim Noraim Tfilos is Akedas Yitzchak. The first mitzvah we do of the new year, Shofar, is connected to the Isle of Yitzchak. But yet, I want to show you something amazing. When Avraham Avinu's children, when we were in the desert for 40 years, 3.5 million people need to be sustained in the desert. What are the merits? It wasn't our own merit. We weren't all that great in the desert. So what merits sustained us? So the Gemara Maseches, Rav quotes Gemara Maseches above Metzia discusses this. What sustained us in the desert? It was the merit of the Hachnasas Archim of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said, "Yukach na ma'at mayim." Avraham Avinu said to Yishmael, "Go get them some water." HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided us with water. Avraham Avinu said, "Psadu pas lechem, let me give you some bread." HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us bread. Avraham Avinu gave his guests meat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us meat in the desert. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It wasn't the Akeda that sustained us in the desert. It was Hachnasas Archim. It was the fact that he had a couple of strangers over for lunch and gave them a beautiful su'udah and made them feel chashiv and made them feel important and made them feel like royalty. It was the fact that he could have easily outsourced and delegated this all to Yishmael, but he did it. He did it himself. It was this one act of Hachnasas Archim that supported 3.5 million people for 40 years. Do you understand what that means? I'm assuming it's just heat fatigue that you're not getting more excited about this. Hey, this is dramatic. One act of Hachnasas Archim sustained 3.5 million people for 40 years. Is it more important than the Akedah? Less important than the Akedah? They're different. The Akedah is the pinnacle of spiritual heroism. The Akedah is the pinnacle of commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you're willing to give. Forget about sacrificing yourself. Sacrificing yourself, quote unquote, is easy. This is, a parent is called upon to sacrifice their child for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pinnacle of spiritual heroism that often we have difficulty wondering to ourselves, could we ever do it? We don't have to wonder that, because unfortunately, Avraham Avinu might have been the first. In Baruch Hashem, he didn't have to sacrifice his son. But many Jews throughout the ages did have to sacrifice their children. Where did they get that strength from? That spiritual heroism was from Avraham Avinu. So Rav Soloveitchik says something amazing. You might think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only interested in Akedah-like activity. You might only think that the only thing that shows up on God's divine radar is when you do something spiritually heroic. But the small things, okay, very nice. Nice tatala, nice mamala, great job. You know, carry on. No. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, that's what it means, v'lisvuna so, ein mispar. In God's understanding of things, in God's appreciation of us, ein mispar. There's not a meter, there's not like a mitzvah meter, that the needle has to go above 9. You know, 8 and above is spiritual heroism. Anything less than an 8, too easy, you don't get credit with God. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't work that way. If you do a Maisa Akedah, incredible. But you do Hachnasas Archim, you let people into your house, you do something relatively much less dramatic in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exceptional. As I look at the last two lines, he goes on. He says, "Ma'aseh zeh shel Avram lo haya ma'aseh heroi." The act of Hachnasas Archim was not a spiritually heroic one. Ela galui enosh pashut shel Hachnasas Archim, but rather, ultimately, again, it is a simple manifestation of Hachnasas Archim. Gadol Adonin v'rat koach. The Ribbono Shel Olam is boundless and filled with immeasurable strength. But lest you think that therefore he only appreciates spiritual heroism, v'lisvuna so ein mispar. For his understanding of us, there's no grading system. He appreciates and is able to see the beauty in anything and everything we do. Let's loop this back. What's Amalek? So we saw many different interpretations. Amalek represents that which is dark and that which is evil in this world. Amalek represents all of the difficulty, all of the sadness, all of the tragedy, all of the adversity. So says the Beis Aaron, how do you wipe out Amalek? How do you, Torah tells us, how do you wipe out Amalek in this world? There's a mitzvah d'oraisa. We're good Jews. We want to fulfill what the Torah says. So Zohar, I could remember. Timcha, how do I go ahead and wipe it out? So what did the Beis Aaron say? The Beis Aaron says, when a person does a mitzvah, when a person serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person introduces just a bit more light into this world, every little bit of light drives back the darkness to a degree. Every little bit of light, every single mitzvah, big or small, always does something to erase some piece of it. See, we look at the erasure of Amalek as like an all or nothing thing. We look at the erasure of Amalek, when you erase Amalek, that means Amalek is obliterated and they're gone. The Beis Aaron says it's not true. It's just like Lahavdil, if you write something on a piece of paper, often you can't erase everything at once. Right? There's a first erasure, there's a second erasure, there's this word, there's that word, it takes time. Sometimes even you erase it. The erasure of Amalek, says the Beis Aaron, is a process. And the erasure of Amalek means, what are we doing to drive away some of the darkness in this world? What are we doing to erase some of the Amalekite negative influence that lurks all around us? Says the Beis Aaron, I want to, but what could I do? I'm not an Avraham Avinu. I can't do an Akedah. I don't have that level of spiritual heroism. So the good news is, that's not what's needed to erase Amalek. Anything we do erases Amalek. Any positive dynamic action, even tying your shoes in accordance with Halacha, somehow drives away the darkness. You see, the greatest challenge we face is that often we think that the only things that matter are the big heroic activities. And the little things we do day to day, they're nice, but they don't have such an impact. And the Beis Aaron says that mindset is not only unequivocally false, but it's destructive and harmful. Because life is not filled with often heroic activity. Life is filled with day-to-day goodness. And the more small acts of kindness and goodness we perform, the more we each do our part in erasing Amalek. And it's something amazing. Now you begin to understand why we read, why we dafka have Parsha Zohar on the Shabbos before Purim. Because remember, again, there's nothing really that... generally, we assume that why do we read Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim? Why? Haman was from Amalek. That's the general juxtaposition. But the truth is, you don't have to. As we saw already before, if you miss it on Purim, if you miss it this Shabbos, this Purim, this Parsha Kisaiti, this Parsha Peshalach. So we see it's not really tethered to a particular time. But you know, something amazing about Purim, what is the Yom Tov of Purim? The Yom Tov of Purim is all about the power of little things. See, I don't mean about the story of the Megillah. I mean in the mitzvos hayom. What are the mitzvos of the day of Purim? The mitzvos are mishloach manos. And there's one thing I have to say. And then I'm probably already a little bit too late. So the people who are here for my shul know I make this speech every single. We've missed the boat on mishloach manos. If you're having a discussion with someone about what your theme for mishloach manos are, then you don't understand what the mitzvah is. If you're spending a lot of money on mishloach manos, then you've also missed the theme of what... Do you know what the most beautiful mishloach... You know what mishloach manos is about? It's about a simple gift from one Jew to another. It's about a simple gift that says, hi, thinking about you. And whether it means that I took the time to bake something for you or buy something for you, the package, first of all, just doesn't... I have to go back to the mishloach manos in just a second. You understand that the incredible waste of communal resources when people spend all of this money on exorbitant mishloach manos, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and this is not the greatest ill of Klal Yisrael by any stretch of the imagination. But do you know how happy, you'll excuse me for saying this, the cleaning lady community is on the day after Purim, right? Because what happens? Again, day after Purim already, it's time for Pesach. So what are you going to do with 75 themed pastas and this and that and this? So again, I'm sure in the cleaning lady, forum group, you know, whatever it is, they must talk about this. Because again, it's an incredible, it's a Kiddush Hashem, because Klal Yisrael is definitely supporting some community out there with all of our leftover. But really? Is that what it's about? That, first of all, I'm going to make your Purim so much more enjoyable. Don't stress over it. Don't make 50 of them. The halacha is 2. And it's okay if somebody comes to your door and they give you something and you don't have to give something back. That is okay. You can give something back. You could give an embrace. You could give a smile. You could give a real heartfelt thank you. Thank you for taking. That's Mishloach Manos. Mishloach Manos is, I'm taking the time to take my little baked good and my little bottle of grape juice, so whatever it is that you're going to use, and say, hi, fellow Jew, I love you, I care about you, you're important to me. And I want to tell you, sometimes this gets lost, because if you have 50 Shalach Manos and you tell your kids to drop off Shalach Manos and they can leave it at this door, leave it at that door, you know, the goal is not to leave Shalach Manos at somebody's door. You know, there's a Shaila in the poskim. If you don't go ahead and hand the Shalach Manos to someone, do you fulfill the mitzvah or not? Because no one needs your hamantaschen. No one needs your challah. No one needs your grape juice. What they need is your friendship. What they need is your camaraderie. What they need is a sense of connection. That's why it's even more important to dafka give your Mishloach Manos, not to your best friends. Your best friends already know that you love them. Your best friends already know how you feel about them, because chances are they ate at your house last Shabbos, they're with you at your simcha. You give Shalach Manos to people who you don't know well, or maybe even better, to people with whom you've had a little bit of a tumultuous relationship with. It's the opportunity to reach out. It's the olive branch, and it's cloaked in the incredible simcha of the day. You give a little item of two simple food items to another Jew. And what you could affect, not just in the realm of interpersonal behavior, but what you could affect in Shalom is dramatic. There's an amazing halacha, Matanos Levyonim, giving gifts to the poor. Every other day of the year, if somebody asks you for tzedakah, you have the right to what?
Say no.
No, not say no. Never, don't ever say no. Chas v'shalom, you don't have to give a lot, but you have the right to ask for documentation. Okay, Rabbi Heinemann gives out letters. You could ask to say, you know, can you show me what you're looking for? You know, there's an amazing halacha on Purim. The halacha on Purim is, kalaposheit yad, if somebody asks you for money, you have to give on Purim. Now, you don't have to, how much you want to give is up to you. You can give a quarter, you can give a dime, give angels. But what's the idea? The idea is, because on Purim, what we're saying is, a simple act of giving a dollar. Baruch Hashem, for most of us, you know, sometimes the hoops that we make the mishulachim jump through to get an $18 check from us, we sooner drop $18 for two lattes and a cappuccino at Starbucks, and we don't ask about those ridiculous prices, right? But again, but for the Meshulach who's come, I need to see every piece of documentation, including your birth certificate. Purim says, okay, if you're in need, and you say you're in need, I'm going to give you. It's not a heroic action. Giving a hamantash and a bottle of grape juice to another Jew is not heroic. Giving a dollar to someone who says they need it without asking them for documentation is not heroic. But Purim offers us the opportunity to do our part against Amalek. You see, on Purim we celebrate that Mordechai and Esther did a ma'aseh heroi. You see, Purim is about heroic activity. The Megillah is about heroic activity. That's the Megillah. But the celebration of Purim reminds us that you need not be heroic to erase Amalek from this world. You need not to be heroic to make a dramatic difference in the fabric of the universal human condition. And that is not an exaggeration. Because even the little things we do, even the small things we do, register with the Ribono Shel Olam. And even the small things we do have such a dramatic impact on ourselves and on others. So on this parasha, upcoming parasha Zachar, we hopefully now have a newfound appreciation for what it is that we're trying to accomplish. Yes, we must remember that there's hatred. We must remember that, unfortunately, again, there is sinas chinam, and we must avoid that within our midst. We must reinforce within ourselves the anticipatory pining and yearning for Mashiach. But most importantly, we have to ready ourselves to do our part in wiping out Amalek. And I want to be clear. This is not a call to arms. I don't do anything dramatic. Don't take the law into your own hands. Again, by any... I mean on a spiritual level. Amalek surrounds us in every corner. And all we need to do is something. All we need to do is just a little bit. All you need to do is tie your shoes. All you need to do is deliver Mishloach Manos. All you have to do is give a little bit to Matanos Levyonim. All you have to do is, if you know someone who doesn't have a place for a Purim Seuda, take them in. Take them in, but don't make them feel like a Nebuch. Just invite them to make them feel like an Avram Avinu Hachnasas Arachim. You're important. Purim wouldn't be special enough without you. Without you. Those small actions, V'lisvunos so in Nispar, have such a dramatic impact in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have such a dramatic impact on us, and serve the incredible purpose of erasing, or at least beginning to erase, the darkness of Amalek from our world. So may we zochem Eretz Hashem on this Shabbos to internalize these lessons, and may we zochem Eretz Hashem on the Yom Tov of Purim to do our part in erasing Amalek.
When I have no idea how to work it.